Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, if you have not heard about the Rock Hill Schools Education Foundation, you're going to hear about it today, because we have two ladies that make it rock and they make it roll, and it is you like that, don't you?
Yeah.
Huh? And it's just about ready to start rocking and rolling,
right, yes.
Because Monday the bells start ringing and it's back to school.
That's right.
And as the mother of four over here said, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Say amen.
That's right.
So with that, we will introduce Megan Patch. She's the executive director of the Schools Foundation, and her supporting cast here, the one and the only, Roxanne Kellner, who's the president of the organization. So how happy are you that school is getting started on Monday?
Well, I feel bad saying that I'm very excited, because there are a lot of teachers in the district that are doing a mindset shift this week, just getting ready for...
Wait. That's not the question I'm asking. I'm asking the personal question.
I'm very excited that school is starting.
Four kids.
They'll all be in the district, so I'm pumped that we'll have some regularity and a schedule
order
again.
In the court.
Yes, order in the court. That's right.
You know, we could do a whole show
on
what summertime is like with four young kids running around.
Yes. I start out so pumped to have that extra time with them, and then get so pumped about school starting again.
And about a week later, you've had enough.
A little bit longer than a week, but yes, there is definitely a moment.
Now, you know, Roxanne's over here laughing because...
I only have one.
She only has one.
Two. I have two children, but one being college.
Yeah. And she was saying that it's ready for him, time for him to go back.
Yeah. They get a taste of that college life, and it's, you know...
They get a taste of that college life.
That's right.
What about you?
Well, yeah, you kind of free up your schedule.
Okay. Truth comes out here. Yeah. Okay. Let's get back to business here. So as far as school getting back to its normal schedule, what does that mean for the foundation?
We have a lot going on right now. We had an event earlier this week for our teacher ambassadors. There's an ambassador at each school that's kind of like our cheerleader for the foundation. So we did a kickoff event for them on Tuesday night. And tomorrow is the district rally. So all the employees in the district are invited to a group meeting pep rally from 1 to 3 at Northwestern. And we are pumped and honored to be a part of that and get to add a little excitement. Some giveaways, some prizes.
It's a big deal. I went to one of those. In fact, I'll never forget. I'm trying to remember the name of the superintendent. The young lady, this was years and years ago, and they called me and they said, do you really have a motorcycle? I said, yeah, I got a motorcycle. Would you be willing to do? Yeah, sure, why not? And this one was over at Rock Hill High School. So what we did, made arrangements for was to bring the motorcycle in from the outside. She was on the back.
Boom,
all the way in. And the crowd went crazy.
Of course they did.
They went absolutely crazy as that old Harley was making all that noise.
That's fine.
So, you know, I forgot the introductions. How terrible.
You're good. We jumped right in.
We did jump right in. We only know you're the mother of four.
That's right.
So, Megan, how long have you had this job?
Well, almost a year. Like I told you earlier, I think my second day of the job
last year we were here with you.
So Roseanne was teaching me as we were talking about the organization. But I'm excited. I think next week is officially a year. And it has been a fast but fun-filled and meaningful year that I'm proud that I can say I've been a part of.
And for all of those who have no idea what the foundation is all about, why don't we ask the Presidente over here
to
explain what the foundation does.
We walk side by side with the school district, and we support our teachers. We support our students in ways that, just uplift them in the classroom. The teachers, can dream big, mm-hmm. and we just come alongside them and say, how can we make that happen? Yeah. So in the ways that we do that, two of our biggest programs are the Back the Pack program, which mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll get into, which and in teacher grants.
Yeah.
So really right now we're trying to just get the teachers pumped up as they get into their classrooms and say, hey, I would really love this. This tool would make my mm-hmm. job easier and reach more kids. And they think about us, and they're like, I'm going to ask for a grant.
Yes.
I know who to turn to for a lifeline. Mm-hmm.
I can remember going out 1 year with Alice Davis.
Yes. On Grant Patrol.
On Grant Patrol, and we had that great big oversized check. And we sit out in the parking lot and erase somebody's name and fill mm-hmm. somebody else's name, put the amount of money in, and walk in, and the teacher had no idea.
Yep.
Kids had no idea. And we created instant bedlam
as
the prize patrol walked in, and here we are.
That's right.
So the process, I mean, any teacher can apply for?
Any teacher can apply for a grant. We have really, I think, gotten a streamlined system. Mm-hmm. They know they can go to our website. There's an application online. It's very simple because we don't want to make things harder for teachers. We want to make things easier for them. Yeah. We want them to have a great idea and not have to jump through a million hoops to share that with us. Mm-hmm. And so it's a simple process, just to have this innovative, great idea. A lot of them collaborate and come up with grade level ideas, school-wide ideas. It's just really amazing to see what they ask for and what they need in their classroom. It's kind of a fun process.
So the grants would range anywhere from how much to how much?
You know, we go situation by situation. Generally speaking, it's $1,000, but we've had, you know, smaller asks for small classroom things. They're just going to make the day-to-day life easier, more organized and efficient. And then we've had district-wide programs like a whole new like mental health library, or we just granted one last year that we're super excited about. Yeah. It was an interactive playground that's at York Road Elementary School, and it was a really big ask, but we just felt like it was so innovative and so unique. It was like one of three in the state,
or so.
It was
but innovative. It was a $25,000 ask, and we were able to pay every penny of that, and they just got it officially set up, so it's ready for students this year. So we're excited to go back in and witness it ourselves. But it's up on, it's like projected on a wall, but it's interactive, so students can answer a math problem by like throwing a ball to the wall to the answer they want, and then it'll, you know, ask them something else. So it's engaging and it's different, and the kids are excited about it. So
and the teacher is pumped about it. I mean, she's so excited.
Yeah.
So multi-level, multi-grade level, multi-subject.
So in the course of a year, when you don't have a $25,000 ask, you'll hand out how much in grants?
We would love to hand out $100,000 in grants over the course of a school year. That is our goal. Yes. That is
so you have a grant cycle that runs throughout the school year?
So we are going to have two grant cycles. Right now, we have the first grant cycle is open through October 7th. And we've already got some teachers that have submitted some grants, which is super exciting. They're already thinking their wheels are spinning. Yes. And then the second one will be in the beginning of the new year, probably around
February 3rd. Yeah.
So. That's interesting. Well, that's quite a bit more money than I thought you were handing out. I mean, that's tremendous.
Yes.
And we generate these dollars how?
With our investors.
Uh-huh.
Donations.
Uh-huh.
With the community.
I think it says so much about the strong partnerships that we have in the community, because that we're able to give out that much, and we're able to invest, you know, an equal amount, actually a little bit more, into Back the Pack and other programs, because we have great corporate sponsorships. People just understand the value of investing in the schools, and so we're very fortunate to have a lot of community partners that come alongside us individually or corporately and just help make that possible.
And I also think, like, you went on a grant patrol. You got that really amazing, uplifting feeling. So when we have community members or teachers that receive grants and the excitement just oozes out of them, that really keeps our, you know, momentum going as a foundation. It builds excitement, it builds interest, and it builds, you know, relationships for people that want to see the good things that we do keep getting done.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it would be impossible to name all these partners that you have, but you have numerically, what do you have, 50, 100, 200?
Yes, we have more than that overall with varying levels, but
I don't have the number, but we have, you know, it's we're all across the community. We have businesses that support us. We have individuals that support us. Yeah. We have teachers that support us, which is super exciting.
Yes.
So grants can come in. I mean, donations can be any size. $20
Exactly.
$20,000
Yeah. Right. Every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps. And for Back the Pack, how much is it to feed a child?
It's about $5 a bag to feed a child. That was, you know, numbers last year. Of course, inflation's going to change that a bit. But that equals $135,000 annually that we spend on food to feed over 800 students in the district.
Yeah, we're going to roll on that in just a minute.
Okay.
That's a whole nother.
Jumped ahead.
A whole nother thing.
My point being, every penny counts.
Right.
A $5 donation, you know right away that that can go and feed a child. Mm-hmm. That pays for one of the bags.
And you touched on it, but the fact, we feel like the fact that educators are willing to donate out of their check into the programming that we help support, that helps us know that we're on the right track. That if we're doing something valuable enough for them to invest in, then we're doing the right thing. Then we're, you know, on mission and doing what we're supposed to be doing in the district.
Well, it says an awful lot.
Yeah,
about
it really does.
Everybody.
Right. Yep.
You know, this whole thing about community is really remarkable. Mm-hmm. It says so much about who we are as people to support things like this to the level it's being supported, which is fantastic, just for the grants for the teachers. Because
right.
I can remember, oh, I don't know how many years ago, we were sitting here talking about teachers not having any extra dollars at all from their school districts to get pencils and papers and whatever they needed in the class. Now, I think that's changed, fortunately, but that's, you know, without community support from day one, we wouldn't be where we are as a district today.
Right. Yeah, I mean, our district is very generous, and they do a lot to pour back into, you know, salaries and supplies as much as they can with the funding they're allotted. But nationally, on average, a teacher spends $750 out of their own pocket to support classroom needs. And so that coupled with just knowing what the morale boost it is to fund a grant, we just feel like there is it's just such a necessary thing to offer that hope and encouragement, and then money that teachers do not have to spend out of their own pocket to put back in their classroom.
All right, so if I want to get a grant by the in time for the October cycle, when do I have to have my brilliant idea submitted?
October 7th at 5 p.m. is our hard stop deadline.
October 7th at 5 p.m.
Yeah. Right. So if you visit our website, which is rhsef.org, you can look at the teacher page or the educator grant. And we also offer Zoom calls for teachers to ask questions before that deadline. So if they have, you know, any ideas that they just want to flush out before they actually invest in the time to complete the application, we're available for that. And then Roseanne kind of touched on this earlier, too. If we do have to say no to a grant, we always reach back out to that teacher and say, hey, look, if we could adjust this or if we could expand the reach of this or do this a little bit differently, you know, please make those switches and apply again, because we really do want to fund as many ideas as possible for these teachers in the district.
And we also do two grant cycles during the school year, because we realize that just getting up and running for the school year is a huge undertaking.
Yes.
So the bright idea, it might not surface for a few months, or you know, they need to stew on it for a little while, and so they can hop into grant cycle number two. So spreading it out.
So normally, I mean, how many applications do you think on average you get for any cycle?
That varies, and honestly, COVID definitely affected that, because like Roseanne said, I mean, our teachers were doing all, it was all they could do just to operate their classroom, keep it status quo, so to, you know, think outside the box, and it was a luxury to be able to apply for a grant during those years, but we would have, I think, like 30, okay,
30
per around cycle. That number per cycle.
Oh, we need more than that.
I think
we agree.
I think
we
so,
agree.
Too.
You should have 100.
Yeah,
exactly.
We totally agree, and that's part of why we're trying to get the word out about the opportunity, and also we're excited that teachers are going to have, here's hoping, a normal-ish year this year. And have that freedom
if
to think
not,
about.
If not, you're going to have four more at home, and you'll be shut
right.
over nine
that's
months
right.
instead of three.
That's the personal request as well, yeah.
Pat kids are going to be at
that's
home.
Right. That's right.
Just don't say monkeypox.
Yeah.
Right?
Got it.
All right, it's a pretty simple process. If you're out there, if you're a teacher, and you got a project, they want to hear about it.
Right.
The Schools Foundation wants to hear about it.
That's exactly right.
And you have an opportunity of getting them to fund it. I mean, the fact that you were able to fund a $25,000 yes. project is yep. remarkable.
It was yep. amazing.
Absolutely amazing. Remarkable. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we've exhausted the first topic, although we could go on. We have more, though. We have more to talk about, which we will do after our mid-program break. And I know you two are very intelligent ladies, so you know what we're going to do here in those white letters. After we remind everybody, the Straight Talk is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, like I said, fresh subs and salads. That's what we do here at Substation 2, 6 days a week, between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. The magical formula. Look at you. The magical formula that you and your kids should know by now is in those white letters, and we're going to say it together at the count of three. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Hey, got it. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Manning, this is a great show today.
Well, we try to make them good every day, kind of like what you do, Charlie.
That's right. We try to make the best sandwiches and salads every day here at Substation 2.
And that's why we tell everybody, slice, slice, slice,
garden, 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 garden. Always fresh, always delicious.
Substation 2, Jerry Road across from Winthrop.
Stream TV from Comporium is more than just TV. It's accessing all your favorite shows and movies. From here, in there, up there somewhere, here too, we won't tell. It's restarting shows mid-show. It's TV that learns the difference between what you like and what you love. It's what you want, when you want it, where you want it. So, yeah, we're more than your internet company. We're your smart TV, just got a whole lot smarter company.
Founders knows you must use your best money-saving strategies to reach your full financial potential, including finding the best interest rates on your credit cards. In our current economy, you've got to make every dollar count. That's why Founders offers low balance transfer rates on all their credit cards. Get the most out of your credit card. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc to apply and save today. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Let's ask the young Alex Ruffalo why he thinks people keep coming back to eat at Substation 2.
Because they can see for themselves how everything on their sandwich or salad is sliced fresh right in front of their eyes. That's why we say slice, 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 garden, garden, garden.
For lunch or dinner, make it Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, with the two lovely ladies who are associated with the Rock Hill Schools Foundation. Let's see, who's more lovely? No, I mean, no. Megan Patch, the Executive Director. Roseanne Kellner is the President of the Foundation, and we spent the whole first half talking about the grant program, which is fabulous. I mean, your goal is $100,000 to give back to the teachers.
Yes.
Whew, every school year. That's remarkable.
Yes.
I mean, even a school board member would tell you that. It's remarkable, right? Yeah, it sure would. If it was one around here that looked like a school board, that would look like a school board member.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. How about that?
You know, I didn't recognize him. He's gotten a haircut, and he's now go away now. Don't get on the microphone. No, no, no. Leave you alone. All right, so the other part of what you do, to me, it just breaks my heart to even have to do it, which is this back-to-back program.
Right.
giving kids food that they need because they haven't got enough food at home. Where did this all start? How did it start?
You would know more
history
of it.
And it's even before my time, but it was kind of like this idea that they came up with. I don't even know how long ago. They
just long time ago.
Realized a need. There were kids that, you know, because they didn't have enough food to eat, were not able to concentrate in the classroom.
Right.
They were hungry and tired, maybe acting out. And I think that's kind of, they saw a need and they wanted to fill it. And so it started off very grassroots and very, you know, simple. I don't know how many kids at first, but it has grown into a very
robust
and full circle program. We have so many different facets now that make it just this cohesive part of our our foundation. I love it.
Yeah,
and it's become part of a curriculum, has it not? For the Applied Technology Center,
it is.
Right.
So high schoolers can enroll in logistics and distribution, and there's different levels of the course, but they help plan and order the food and help sort and help with the packaging science of how to efficiently get it all in one bag. They help with the packing of it and transportation. They're involved in all aspects of the operation. And what's cool about that is they're gaining workforce development so they can get internships, scholarships, job placement right out of school. And a lot of them do. But if you ask them what their favorite part of the program is, we did that last year, interviewed the seniors, and they all said the fact that I get to give back is my favorite part. And I think that speaks volumes just of the program, because they understand I'm getting these workforce development skills, but they're not just for me. Like, I have a gift, or I'm given the opportunity to give back to others while doing this. So that's one of our favorite parts.
And they understand the impact of that their hard work is actually going to fill a need. Mm-hmm. It's not just completing a task.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about a few kids, right? We're talking hundreds.
800.
800 kids.
And that was the numbers last year,
right.
So it could change this year even more.
Right.
Well, and most of these are elementary and middle school. Is that right?
It's across the board, but we definitely serve more. I mean, there's more elementary schools.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
And my guess is if you could figure out a way to do it at the high school level, you'd probably pick up another 800.
Yes. Well, we do offer it to the high schoolers. We've just learned we have to be a little more creative to get them to take the bags. But there's certainly a need at
those teenage years and how people pick up on stuff and,
you're exactly right.
Use it against you and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
So logistically, how is this done? I mean, you pull the food in from what, Second Harvest? Is that where you get it?
We do. We partner with Second Harvest Food Bank of the Metrolinas, and just with, you know, the shipping delays and food shortages, we also have to work, not have to, we get to work with Sam's Club and supplement those orders here and there as well.
So you have to purchase all this, or is some of it donated?
We get about a 20% discount from Second Harvest, but the majority of it is purchased.
Well, they're cheap anyway. You're buying it by the pound, right?
Right, yep.
Yeah, okay.
That's exactly right.
Thank God for Second Harvest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So all this comes in, and all this is what? Nutritional bars, crackers. I mean, I've seen them.
Actually, that's a good point. Like, it started off more snacky, and we realized that because they're going for the entire weekend without meals, we needed to have things that had sticking power. Like, we needed high protein, like meal foods.
Right.
So, like, you know, canned chicken or tuna, soup, spaghetti and meatballs, macaroni. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's fruit. So we tried to think more like food pyramid healthy.
Yeah.
Not just kind of a quick fix. So it's not really super snacky stuff, but more, you know, substantial.
Yeah, but when you talk something like spaghetti, which you were talking about, meatballs, that's something that has to be prepared, right, on a stove.
Like we do can, like a SpaghettiOs, like in a can.
So it
can be heated up.
Just heat it up, right.
Like a pop top. So.
Because one of the things that I'm sure happens, families that are in this situation, there's more than just a child sharing this food.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
The other family.
That as well.
Yeah. So you try to load that backpack down with some additional stuff.
Right.
We try to stuff that gallon Ziploc bag as full as we can.
And I have to say, I'm pretty proud of how
they
are very efficient. And the students
really
tell us exactly, it's like playing Tetris. How do we fit this all in the bag to maximize what we have and make it in.
So it'll fit into a backpack.
So all the bags are identical in terms of what's in there?
Yeah, they are.
All right.
Week to week, they're all identical.
Okay. So no matter who the child is and what their age is, they're all going to get spaghetti and meatballs,
yes,
or they're all going to get SpaghettiOs,
yes,
or
that's right,
whatever, nutritional,
yes,
bars.
Yep.
You know, go out and buy some candy bars, like give everybody a Mars bar.
Sure,
or something.
They would love that.
They probably would be excited, but it wouldn't hold them over, yeah, for the weekend, and that's the goal. But.
Yeah. So who guides you in this? I mean, do you have some nutritionist that says, try this, try that, try that? Or is it just about availability and what you can get?
Well, we do our research. We've kind of worked with other backpack organizations or ones that are doing similar programs just to find out what they use and what, you know, what's the best based on their experience. Second Harvest has also been a great resource in helping us determine what will sustain a child over a weekend as compared to, you know, snacky foods.
And we also have to consider the fact that, you know, we make these big purchases and then they're stored at in the warehouse in the, you know, at the Applied Technology Center. So what's going to last?
It has a shelf life.
Shelf life, yeah.
Well, it's something to watch. I mean, I've been over there before, and you've got racks and racks of food all over the place.
It's pretty incredible.
And
it,
logistically, I didn't realize that everybody got the same one-gallon bag of goodies.
Yeah.
But somebody's got to stuff that stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that somebody is basically other students. Is that right?
Well, the students help really prep assembly lines. And we actually have volunteers that come in every other Wednesday. You should come join us this year. We're kicking off August 31st. But volunteers can come in. They sign up online. And it takes about 20 volunteers, about an hour and 15 minutes to pack 1,600 of those bags. And so it's really like instant gratification to see empty shelves when you start and then full shelves of food that are going to be in the hands of students within a couple of days.
It's in the most uplifting 90 minutes.
It really
is. Because you know going in, I've got a job to do. We've got to fill these, you know, carousels. And when it's all completed, you're like, I cannot believe this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then,
yeah,
you know, the fact that, oh, my gosh, this is feeding 800 kids.
So as the food comes in from Second Harvest, who's taking it off the truck and putting it up in the racks?
The students are. So they take it off and inventory it, and they actually have, you know, spreadsheets and some online systems that help them keep track of that. But they have to look at the dates. They have to make sure that nothing is going to expire, and then they put it on the shelves and store it, get the assembly line set up. So they do so much of the prep work, so it's easy for us as community partners to come in and, you know, pack bags that quickly to get them.
So how do you clandestinely get these 1 gallon bags of food into the kids' backpacks? How do you do that?
So it works a little bit different at each grade level or age group. We work with the guidance counselors at each school. They're the ones that help us identify which students need them. And so for the younger ages, the teachers will discreetly slip the food into backpacks, maybe while the students are at music or recess or something. But in the middle school and high school, a lot of times they'll have this designated room or space where a student can go and just pick it up without anybody looking, slip it in their backpack, walk out without anybody knowing that it's in there. So it's, you have to, like, case by case basis kind of figure out the best
you
way to do it.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is embarrass anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I got that.
Right.
Well, this is so simple to support. It's how much, I mean, what are you asking for from people to support a kid during the year?
Well, it's about $150 a year to support a student to feed them every weekend, right, throughout the year. But it equates to about $5 a bag.
So if you got $150 lying around and you'd like to put it to good purposes,
right,
be assured 100% of it is going to the kids.
That's right.
Yes.
We don't have a bunch of overhead here except buying the food and getting it out to people.
Right.
And buying a bunch of Ziploc bags.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
And that's why you don't want me on the assembly line, because I would be probably cursing that bag saying, why can't I get this in here when these kids are getting it in here?
We wouldn't make you zip them.
That's right. You can help.
We'll find you another job.
Oh, yeah.
You can be a cheerleader.
I can be a cheerleader. Well, listen, thank you for all that you all are doing. The website is rhsf.org.
R-H-S-E-F. It's our acronym. So Rock Hill Schools Education Foundation.
Oh, I forgot the E. rhsef.org. Okay. Great. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Terry's just over here looking. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders. And presented as well by Comporium, a friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, we're going to tell this one more time. You want to get in on this, Terry? We'll see how good you are. The white letters we're going to say together at the count of three. Are you ready now? We'll see how educated he is. At the count of three, what happens here at Substation 2? Ready? One, two, three. Slice.
Garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.